A year ago, President Clinton, Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat, and then Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak were at Camp David trying to reach a peace agreement. Palestinians were losing faith in the process, and there were growing fears of a new wave of violence. The three leaders and their aides negotiated for 2 weeks, propelled by President Clinton in the final months of his presidency. The summit failed, and the Palestinians were blamed. But at least some of the participants in Camp David say there was enough blame to go around. NPR's Vicky O'Hara reports.
President Clinton risked all of his political capital trying to achieve peace where others had failed. He acted as mediator at Camp David, leaving reluctantly to attend a G8 summit and convincing Arafat and Barak to keep negotiating until he returned. But it didn't work, and President Clinton had to make the painful announcement.
They couldn't get there. That's the truth. They couldn't get there.
The president said the negotiators had made some progress, but for that he gave most of the credit to Prime Minister Barak, saying Yasser Arafat had not been as forthcoming. In the months that followed, American and Israeli officials castigated the Palestinians for turning down an unprecedented Israeli offer. That characterization infuriates Abu Allah, the chief Palestinian negotiator.
You know, it's a lie that the Israeli gave everything, the Palestinian refused everything. It's not true.
Abu Allah says that the Israelis may have been offering more than in the past, but the offer failed to meet basic Palestinian demands in key areas. Robert Malley agrees. He was at Camp David as President Clinton's special assistant for Arab-Israeli affairs.
The proposals that were made at Camp David, on their face, wouldn't meet basic Palestinian demands or even wouldn't make it possible for Arafat to justify to his people. So I would agree that it was a missed opportunity, but I don't think that it fits the description that so many people give.
Malley points out that Barak proposed 9% of the West Bank be annexed to Israel to incorporate the major Jewish settlements. In exchange, the Palestinians would get only 1% of Israeli territory. Under Barak's proposal, some Arab neighborhoods in East Jerusalem would have remained under Israeli control, also a hard thing for Palestinians to accept. And, says Malley, Camp David offered nothing in terms of the right of return for Palestinian refugees. Nonetheless, say the Palestinians, there was a lot of arm-twisting aimed at Arafat. But former Prime Minister Ehud Barak says that's not true.
We never tried to dictate to him. Not me, not President Clinton.
The problem, says Barak, is that Arafat, when put to the test of true leadership and commitment to peace, failed miserably. Robert Malley says it was hardly a fair test of Arafat because the Israeli proposals were insufficient, not even offering the Palestinians a viable contiguous state. Still, Malley says, Arafat should have made counteroffers.
And that's where I think their mistake was, not so much in not saying yes, but in not saying this is what we're prepared to live with.
The Palestinians answer that they already have negotiated away all but 22% of what historically was Palestine. They say it's up to Israel to make a realistic offer. Robert Malley says the American team didn't fully appreciate the Palestinian position going into Camp David.
I think we may have been too optimistic that in the end, in the climate of a summit, each side would make the kind of steps that would be required and would overcome the accumulated distrust, which was quite extraordinary by that point, and try to reach a solution. But I don't think that we had, on the U.S. side, a clear perception of the Palestinian bottom line, both because we were hearing different things from different Palestinians, and because what we were hearing from the Palestinians was not particularly clear, regardless of who said it.
Looking back on Camp David, Palestinian negotiator Abu Allah is complimentary of President Clinton's deep commitment to the peace process. But he remembers the anger of Mr. Clinton, who coerced the Palestinians to come to Camp David, promising not to blame them if the summit failed.
This was with me personally when he blamed me, and we said that I personally had the responsibility of the failure of the summit.
Even worse, says Abu Allah, President Clinton blamed him in front of the Israelis. Robert Malley confirms his account. He says the president was at wit's end with the Palestinian failure to make proposals.
And there was mounting appreciation for what was viewed as Prime Minister Barak's risks. The sense was that he was really out on a limb politically in Israel, exposing himself, And so I think that reality overtook whatever commitments were made to the Palestinians before Camp David.
Despite the Palestinians' sense of betrayal, they did participate in follow-up talks. But, Malley notes, the dejected American team did not resume the process until mid-August. 6 weeks later, the Palestinians launched a new uprising against Israeli occupation. Peace now has been put aside for the more modest goal of stopping the bloodshed. Vicki O'Hara, NPR News, Washington.